Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Ocean by H10 Hotels and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
A group of high school students.
High school students.
Elizabethan high school students started a project to research a string of unsolved murders. Their research led to the identification of the killer.
Investigators now have an answer to a 34-year-old question.
Once you start getting a few tips or a few leads or a few identifications, then the cold case isn't so cold anymore.
There's a pretty good chance he's still alive.
Everything that the students predicted through their profile turned out to be accurate.
Redhead killer profile, male, Caucasian, 5'9 to 6'2, 180 to 270 pounds. Unstable home, absent father and a domineering mother. Right-handed, IQ above 100, most likely heterosexual.
There is no profile of this killer except for the ones the students created.
Just because some of these women no longer have people to speak for them does not mean that they deserve to not be spoken for.
What if this guy's still alive? Like, what if he comes after us?
I said, are you going to kill me? And he said, yes.
This is Murder 101, Season 1, Episode 9, Studying Up. I'm Jeff Shane, a television and podcast producer at KT Studios, with Stephanie Leidecker, Courtney Armstrong, and Andrew Arnault. In 2020, I came across a story about a group of high school students who set out to investigate a series of unsolved murders in their community. It was an incredible story that here at KT Studios, we felt needed to be explored further.
Alright, so this morning, me and Marley are just sitting here in my car. It is 7:52.
6:52.
It is 6:52 in the morning. And we're just sitting here talking about different stuff. And we're about to go in here and meet with Mr. Campbell. And we're actually going to get to present to a former FBI behavior analyst, which is really cool, and talk about the case. So we're just really looking forward to that. It's kind of crazy because we went to a bunch of football games together. And thinking about Elizabeth Lamott, one of the potential victims of Jerry Leon Johns, she actually went missing from a football game. And we went to numerous football games together and not really had a care in the world, but it just happens as quickly as that. So it's really crazy to think about the connection we have with these girls, because we are young females and majority of these women were young women. And we're very close with in age and lifestyle even. You know, this could be any of us or any of our friends. And that's just really crazy to think about. So we really feel connected with this case, these cases, and we really feel like these women deserve justice because this could easily be one of us.
Yeah, and it's something that you don't really think about. Like, when you're in the moment at the football game, you're not really worried about stuff like that. And I'm sure these women were either, but it just happens and it takes you off guard.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hello. Introduce yourselves. How are you all doing?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Alex Campbell, it's good to meet you.
Joey Strickland.
Thank you for coming by.
Did your haircut get better since the last time I saw you?
Maybe. Yeah.
I think it did.
Maybe.
I'm Riley Whitson. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. You said Riley?
Yes.
Riley?
It's Marley.
Hi, Marley.
Riley and Marley. Marley.
Yes.
And we have like the captain's table right here, the honored guest.
Joey Strickler and Ryan Curtis introduce themselves.
I'm Joey Strickler. I retired from the Sullivan County Sheriff's Office 2 years ago, and I was the captain over criminal investigations. My last biggest case that I had over there was, I'm sure y'all have heard of it, the Evelyn Boswell murder case. And just to tell a little bit about my background as far as in preparing me for what I did, I have a bachelor's degree from ETSU in criminal justice, and I spent my whole career, 30 plus years, at the sheriff's office, and then I guess a little bit of everything that was over there, from patrolman to criminal investigations to, of course, I was in the staff and command end of it. But one thing about it that interested me when the TBI actually called me to call you was that when they were telling me you were doing this, I have worked on a couple of cold case homicides. They only had two in Sullivan County, and so I worked those two cases, and I know the pitfalls and the things that you ran into and the issues and things like that. I can honestly say that I think I know who done both of them. Never been able to prove it, but because of certain reasons. But anyway, that's basically where I came from. I just had a law enforcement background and with the Sullivan County Sheriff's Office, and I was afforded great opportunities to go to some really specialized school. I went to the FBI National Academy, which is a 10-week school in Quantico, Virginia, and that's where I studied profiling and things like that. So that's just a little bit about me.
I'm Ryan Curtis. Currently, I'm an assistant district public defender right down the road, and I run the public defender's office essentially in Johnson County. But I was an assistant district attorney for about a decade, graduated law school at Appalachian School of Law in 2011, went to ECSU. So a lot of the experience I had in learning about these things was at the district attorney's office. A lot of the experience I got learning about the forensic side of things was not going to these academies where he's getting like firsthand knowledge. It's instead relying on people like him to help me understand it, and also TBI special agents, which are, I'm sure, part of this and this analysis. You know, when you're an assistant DA, you just deal with everything. So there were some murder cases I've worked on, rapes, vehicular homicides, the gambit. Also, tiny things like shoplifting or driving on suspended that you kind of gain some perspective on. In my time, I've worked in all four counties. I've had jury trials in all four counties in this district, and I ran the Unicoi County DA's office for 4 years, Jonesboro a couple years, was in Johnson County for years, and Carter County for 3 years. So any of the serious crimes that happened here in the last few years before I left the DA's office in August, I was part of. So there were a handful of murders and shootings, as there always seems to be. I'll tell you what's interesting hearing about his background, though. When he started in law enforcement, I love when officers come from patrol to investigations. You just get more, I think.
Absolutely.
But there wasn't a CODIS database when you started, was there?
No.
So there was no DNI comparison or DNA comparison or anything like that. So the perspective you must have on seeing how these kind of cases get solved is probably incredible.
The one of my cases that I really took heart to was a 1984 murder. I was a high school senior in 1984. The thing that got me about that is if things would have been done differently in 1984, by the standards we have now, that case would have been solved back then.
How are you guys today?
Very well. I don't have to be in court. I really don't have to be at work. It's a great day.
Friday.
What about you all?
I'm glad it's Friday.
They got a big ball game tonight, don't you?
It's
homecoming. And y'all beat them last time.
Yes.
Was it close?
But they're playing really good.
Basketball season?
Yes.
Yeah, so both of these girls play basketball. They're both really good. Also great students, fine people. So in case I didn't mention it, we don't have this as a class this year. So they do this work on their own, and we meet at 7 a.m. before school, which for a teenager, coming an hour early is quite a...
Any credit for that?
So they don't get any credit. They just do it.
Well, there's nothing better than taking from someone that's done it. There's nothing better than working on homicides and coming to a conclusion.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing better than that.
Yeah, yeah.
I get excited when we just find something new. Like, even if it's not even helpful, I'm just like, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll just stand over here out of your way and let y'all do your thing.
I'm a junior. I'm
16, and I played basketball with Riley since we were in third grade. I would say she probably is my best friend.
Probably.
She is my best friend. I've always kind of found an interest in this stuff. Me and my mom like watch stuff about it together a lot, and it's kind of crazy because a lot of people would consider me a scaredy cat and like everything that I do, but I really, really, really enjoy like learning about this kind of stuff and just kind of like diving in and having my own perspective on things like this.
Yeah, well, we've been friends for forever, but it's really funny because I've always been kind of like, I guess like the more outgoing of the two of us, and I've always been interested in like niche little weird things, and true crime has definitely been a big interest of mine since I was in like sixth grade probably, and I would always listen to true crime podcasts. Like, we'd be warming up for a basketball game and I'd have a true crime podcast on, and everybody's like, are you okay? I'm like, yes, I'm okay. And she would always get like so annoyed with me. She's like, turn that off, turn that off. And then one day she's just like, no, keep playing, keep playing. I'm like, oh, so. But that's something we've kind of both been able to find a lot of interest in last few years.
It's the podcast, isn't it?
Yes.
That's been like such a driver.
Yes.
This kind of
yes. And it's really like, it really gets you into it. You're just like, you don't want to listen to music anymore. You just want to listen to the True Crime podcast. It's relaxing. I had to stop. I used to listen to him to go to bed. And I had to stop because I started getting night terrors. I would wake up and there'd be like a shadow in my room. I'm like, yeah, I can't do this. But yeah, I'm 17, a junior here also, play basketball. That takes up literally all of our time. So it's basically school, basketball, murders. There we go.
Looking at them, not committing.
Correct. Yes. Clarify.
So me and Molly have kind of been doing some research this week between the known victims of Jerry Leon Johns and potential victims. So I've been working on Tracy Sue Walker, and Molly's been working on the DeSoto County Jane Doe. Basically what we've done is we just went through and we've made a victim profile for his two known victims. And then we're just kind of doing a compare and contrast between Tracy Sue Walker, the DeSoto County Jane Doe, Linda, who is a survivor of Jerry Leon Johns, and Tina Farmer, who is a confirmed victim of Jerry Leon Johns.
Let's stop here for a break. We'll be back in a moment.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
It took 11 years to get to this sale. The Knicks Anniversary Sale is on now at knix.com. Celebrate the intimate apparel company that has reinvented products for real life with one of Knicks' biggest sales of the year. Get 30% off all leak-proof apparel from the number one leak-proof brand in North America, including period underwear, swimwear, activewear, and more. Millions of people have made the switch to Knicks leak-proof underwear, and there's never been a better time for you to try. Save 30% on super comfortable, machine-washable, and great-looking underwear that's perfect for periods and light bladder leaks. Choose from a variety of colors, styles, and sizes, from extra small to 4XL. You can even match your leak-proof underwear with an incredibly supportive and comfortable Knicks wireless bra. Don't miss this chance to stock up on your Knicks favorites or try something new. It only happens once a year at Knicks.com. That's KNIX.com for the Knicks Anniversary Sale. Hurry, the sale ends on Monday, May 13th. Go to Knicks.com. That's KNIX.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Murder 101. Riley and Marley walked Mr. Strickler and Mr. Curtis through their profile and explained why they believed Jerry Johns was the Bible Belt Strangler.
None of them were buried or covered up. All of them were just left on the side of the road. And I found a mistake there. That Linda, that last one, actually have no binding, but she was actually bound. I do know that. So I made a small mistake there. Every one of them were found off of a major interstate, just right off, except for one. And she was found about 7 miles from an interstate. Mm-hmm. But she was found 7 miles from another victim that was right on the interstate and matched everything else. But she was just off of a road, but it wasn't a major interstate, it was a side road. But any questions, other questions looking at that? The strangulation by ligature seems to be important, and we're going to look more at that.
So, this is kind of where things take a turn. Police retested items found from Tina Farmer murder and found Jerry Johns' body fluids on it. So Jerry Leon Johns is obviously the man that we think committed these murders. And Tina Farmer, she was killed, and they had not identified her killer until new DNA evidence, like you said, had come out in 2019. And Johns had died in prison while serving time for the attempted murder of Linda, which was 2 months after Farmer was murdered. So she was obviously his survived victim, the only survived victim that we know of. And they were able to arrest him because he stole her car. He thought he had killed her, dumped her, and then stole her car, and she happened to live. He was arrested on March 6, 1985 for the attempted murder of Linda. She was a redheaded exotic dancer and prostitute in Knoxville. Interesting fact also, Jerry Leon Johns' trucking company was based out right outside of Knoxville, and it was actually started illegally, and so we don't have a lot of records from where he was trucking, which can be hard for determining, was he in the area at this time, when this person was killed, all this stuff, but all of his records, his trucking company was very, very illegal. So he bound and gagged her before taking her to the side of the interstate and choking her to what he thought was death, and then he dumped her. She was able to gather herself, got out on the interstate. She was actually blind for 3 days after he had choked her because he choked her so hard. And she stumbled across the interstate naked, blind, and was able to be taken by the police. And they were able to find him via her car that he stole. And then this is who Jerry Leon Johns is. He was born in Tennessee, but him and his family moved around between Rockford, Illinois, East Tennessee, and Houston, Texas area. So obviously that's a lot of ground anyway, let alone being a trucker. He was 37 years old this time. He has a trucking company. It's called Rebel Trucking. He had a very extensive criminal record since he was 15 years old. Started out with little stuff and obviously escalated. He was sentenced to 74 years for the kidnapping and attempted murder. This is court documents treasure trove. These documents show the specific bindings and ligatures that he used on her. And these help us build a timeline for where he was, what he was doing at the time. It provides us with TBI interview notes, which are very, very helpful. And we kind of get to see what kind of person he was, get insight to his psyche. And also, you know, when we're looking at different crimes, we think, try and look for a trigger maybe. So him and his wife were half-sister and half-brother. And they got married. Obviously, people are telling them, you know, you can't do this. Like, if you have a child, it's going to be messed up, even though that takes generations. People just say, your child's going to be messed up if you have a kid. They end up having a son. The son gets cancer at 3 years old and ends up passing away. And everybody's telling Jerry, you know, this is your fault. This is because you did this. Because you got married to your half-sister, your child died. And obviously, any grieving parent, this is not something they want to hear. And a mentally unstable man, it's untailing the kind of anger that he built up and his resentment. And obviously, he has an anger towards women in these crimes, and the relationship with his mother, as I understand, was very, very strange, different. And his half-sister, his wife, was redheaded, and his mother was also redheaded.
The marriage dissolved a year or so after the death of the child. She actually moved back to Illinois. And when she left in 1984, we get 6 murders in about 9 months.
Yeah.
Where he's driving, not just with no boss, but now with nobody at home. And basically he and his brother are just traveling around. And a bunch of dead women show up exactly the same way where he's traveling for about 9 months straight.
One thing that normally, when someone is strangled with a ligature, whether it's a rope, whether it's like that appears to be maybe a T-shirt or something
that
they
use.
If your defendant here is right-handed, they tend to tie a knot in a right-handed fashion. or a left-handed person will tie one in a left-handed fashion. So that's one thing to look at.
So he said he was right-handed.
Riley spoke about Tracy Sue Walker.
Tracy Sue Walker, she was the main victim that I focused on. She was just identified in August of 2022, so very, very recently. And she was dubbed Baby Girl Jane Doe for until she was identified because she was so young. They estimate she was between 14 to 16 whenever she was murdered, but they found out that she was 15, so right on it. But she disappeared from Tippecanoe County, which is in Indiana, as you see right there, and her body was recovered in Campbell County, Tennessee, which is almost 9 hours away. So she disappeared from a mall. She was last seen with a friend at Tippecanoe County Mall, and she was a kind of troubled child. Her mom had reported her as running away twice before that, so they thought that maybe she'd just run away. We're not 100% sure, but her body was found 9 hours away in Campbell County. The most interesting part, another victim, Tina Farmer, who we know was killed by Jerry Leon Johns, went disappeared from Indianapolis, Indiana, which is about an hour from Tippecanoe County. But their bodies were found less than 7 miles apart in Campbell County. So how did two girls disappear from about the same area, 9 hours away, and their bodies are recovered within miles of each other?
Eerily similar. They were all found on trucking routes between his homes, his family homes, trucking hubs, all significant areas that would be related back to him. And although he spent many years in prison, all of the victims were killed when he was not in custody.
I agree. He's probably good for those two, for sure, just because of the location of the where they're missing from and then the location of where their bodies were found. I would agree. So, I mean, you're headed in the right direction. I think your profiles of your victims are well done. And I've always said you have to be able to try to identify the victims and to do a timeline on the victims first, which is what you're doing. That will lead you to your potential suspects or subjects.
So in summary, he puts himself at every secondary crime scene, but once again, he didn't do it, but he was there. He was convicted on two of the crimes with direct evidence, meaning DNA, and his timeline shows the only time that he was not in jail is when the murders happened. And the murders that fit this MO and signature stop right after his arrest.
So I think a judge would actually probably let a good bit of this in. The caveat being, he wasn't prosecuted for a lot of it. So like they've not been substantiated in a court of law. And getting a conviction based on a pattern of behavior would be a lot more powerful than, you know, we put this together, he's dead now. You got to understand on the law enforcement side, the motivation to solve some of this is they're triaging. There's a new murder happening in that county, you know, this week, this month.
Despite that, Mr. Curtis had some good news.
It's an incredible profile.
It is. This very good stuff.
Yeah.
How confident would you be if you had all that information and you went to a grand jury that you could get a true verdict?
This is solid. This is no question. Yes, definitely. I'm thoroughly impressed.
Thank you.
Guys have done a great job, to say the least. You know, all those bindings, that there's a real good chance that they should be able to get some kind of touch DNA from that. Mm-hmm. And
nowadays, for sure.
Nowadays,
would be immediate. You did wonderful. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Let's stop here for another quick break.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
It took 11 years to get to this sale. The Knix Anniversary Sale is on now at knix.com. Celebrate the intimate apparel company that has reinvented products for real life with one of Knix's biggest sales of the year. Get 30% off all leak-proof apparel from the number one leak-proof brand in North America, including period underwear, swimwear, activewear, and more. Millions of people have made the switch to Nix Leak Proof underwear, and there's never been a better time for you to try. Save 30% on super comfortable, machine washable, and great looking underwear that's perfect for periods and light bladder leaks. Choose from a variety of colors, styles, and sizes, from extra small to 4XL. You can even match your leak-proof underwear with an incredibly supportive and comfortable Knix wireless bra. Don't miss this chance to stock up on your Knix favorites or try something new. It only happens once a year at Knix.com. That's KNIX.com for the Knix Anniversary Sale. Hurry, the sale ends on Monday, May 13th. Go to Knix.com. That's KNIX.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Murder 101. The following week, the club met back up.
Well, good morning, ladies. How are y'all doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Well, it's early and I'm a little bit tired, but not bad for a Monday. What'd y'all do this weekend?
I didn't really do very much on Saturday, but on Sunday I went to church and basketball practice. So.
Didn't you have a big ball game Friday night?
Well, Friday didn't count as the weekend.
Yeah, after 3 o'clock Friday counts. So how'd the ball game go?
We won, yeah. So that was good.
And then, Riley, you might have had something extra special on Friday.
Yeah, I won homecoming for the junior class, so that was kind of cool. I was just glad I didn't like fall or pass out. But, yeah, I had a really busy weekend. So that homecoming was on Friday, and then Saturday, me and my mom went to a Covenant College in Georgia for a recruitment visit to watch them play and talk to their coaches and everything. So that was pretty cool, and that took up pretty much the whole day Saturday. And then yesterday I went to church and went to basketball practice and then went back to church. It was a very jam-packed few days.
It was. And so we were presenting to a former assistant district attorney, now a defense attorney, and a retired homicide detective. Mm-hmm. And so I would just love to get your all's kind of thoughts and reflections on how do you think it went?
I think it went really well. I was very nervous going into it, I will say that. But it was really cool. It was cool to get someone else's like perspective on all the work that we've been doing and working so hard on, because like, it's just kind of us three sometimes, and it's good to get like an outside viewpoint on everything. Like hoping that they'd like it and think it was good work, and they did, so.
Yeah, okay. And then, Riley, what about you?
Yeah, I have to agree with Marley. Like, I was really nervous going in, but then to see like people who've been there, done that, and seen a lot of different cases and stuff, to just validate, you know, what we've been seeing and what we've been, where we've put like our time and effort and energy, and to see them kind of like pat us on the back, which we don't do it for that, but it's really nice and really reassuring to have that. So I really enjoyed it.
I wasn't nervous going in because I know that you guys have done some stellar work, but I was curious to see, like you said, I'm a teacher, you're some students, what do professionals in the field really think about the work?
Yeah.
A homicide detective, it's his job to gather evidence and put together evidence for the DA and to see what he thought about our evidence. And also, I thought it was interesting to hear from the former assistant district attorney about what he thought about the evidence. Could it actually go to a grand jury? Was it sufficient? Have we covered all the bases? And do you guys remember anything about maybe some of the stuff they'd said about the work you'd done?
I think that the former assistant district attorney said how there'd been cases in court that had won with significantly less evidence than what we had.
Yeah, what did you think about that?
I thought that was pretty crazy because, I mean, like, sometimes it can get discouraging because there is, like, little information. It's like, oh, we have this Jane Doe, but we have no clue how she lives. Like, it kind of feel like we're grasping at straws and stuff. But just to see, like, the information we do have is so valid and could potentially hold up in court, and there's trials that have been held with significantly less evidence, like Marley said, that was really reassuring to the work that we've been doing and really just shows that like, we're doing something that actually has substance. Like, it's not just for our own enjoyment or for our, our own like passion that we have, like this could actually mean something to some jury or some court.
I thought it was just really reassuring, and like Riley said, like everything we're doing has a purpose, and it shows that like this could really help somebody. And I know that if it was like my family member or something and I saw these people doing it and these people saying this about their work, it'd make me feel like really good.
Okay, so now we have a problem. It's a good problem, but mm-hmm. it's a problem.
Yeah.
And we had the same problem 5 years ago when the students did the work and they created the profile, and the profiler said, "This is excellent. I wouldn't disagree with anything." Well, what good's a profile if it doesn't get out to where people can use it?
Yeah.
You know, so that's why we decided to have the press conference. Well, if we just let it stop here, then it doesn't go forward to help anybody.
I don't want to just give up on this or like think we've taken it as far as we can go, because these women still don't have justice, and there's still so many of them that aren't identified, and so many I think can be identified. So I'm really not sure what the next step should be, but I definitely know that this isn't where we should end.
What about you, Marley?
I still want to be able to like help the families and give them closure.
Yeah,
I've been thinking about that too. And we did try to invite the TBI. Every one of these cases, just about, has been taken over by the TBI. If they were in the state of Tennessee, they have been. There's a couple that are just outside of the state that have not been. And to be honest, I've had very limited success in getting in contact with the people who are responsible for those cases. So we invited the TBI to come and listen to the presentation that you did on Friday. However, they said that every single agent they had was too busy and would be busy the rest of the year. And it's January.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I understand they are busy. Crime never sleeps, right?
Yeah.
People are always up to no good. But I think that my question for myself was, if detectives feel like this is good enough to go to the DA, and the DA feels like it's good enough to go to a grand jury, and since the person we feel that did this is dead, and all you can do is take it to a grand jury, get the true bill, and then consider the case closed. The question for me is, why aren't DAs doing this?
Right.
Or why aren't law enforcement agencies turning this over to the DAs so they can go forward? And I think the only people we have left to present to would be the media.
Mm-hmm.
And there's several reasons why. Number one, last time we got three bodies identified, and one of those cases was solved within a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll get the same luck, because when you put this out there, you're going to get tips, you're going to have people calling in, you're going to have true crime sleuths looking on the internet, looking at missing people, looking at, you know, the DeSoto County Jane Doe,
yeah.
And maybe we can get a few more identifications through the media, because it will get picked up on the media and it'll get out to people.
Yeah.
Number two, maybe other people can ask different agencies what they're doing with the cases. Sometimes they're just triaging cases. The most important ones, the ones that have a lead, the newest ones, the ones that parents are calling, we work on those first.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are 40 years old and they're cold and we have no information and nobody's calling, you know, it just has to be the last one we work. So what do y'all think about taking this to the media and letting the media get the word out for us?
I think that's definitely a good idea and probably our next best step as far as furthering this and seeing what we can do, because other than that, I don't think that there's a better alternative.
Yeah,
I agree.
So I know how to call a press conference. I've done it before one time 5 years ago. Worked pretty well. What do you think about getting a hold of TV and news media from each of the areas where these women were found or went missing from? We only know where two went missing from.
Yeah.
We could maybe contact that media and then tell them we're going to have it, and then just let them show up. The ones that can't make it, we can email them. The last time, 5 years ago, one of the local news agencies actually live streamed it.
Oh, wow.
So they could watch the live stream. They could get a media kit of the information, and then they could do whatever they wanted with it. So if they want to ask their local law enforcement or their local DAs, or if they just want to get the word out there and let people in the public see it and go to work on it on their own time, then I think that would be maybe something we could do. I guess the big question is, when do we want to schedule it?
Because
y'all are, you know, homecoming queen and basketball games and college tours. Y'all busy people. So let's think about a time we can do it. And then let's set it. Maybe give ourselves about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I think what we need to do is go back through the information, see if we want to reformat anything, because it's different presenting to the group we presented to on Friday and the media group.
Yeah.
Also, we probably need to put together a media packet, which we can have them sign up for when they come in, and then we can email it to them after it's over. We could maybe have some hard copies available to them, maybe that day or something. Mm-hmm. But that'll give us a couple of weeks to do that work.
Yeah.
And, of course, give them some time to plan on being here if they can be here.
Right.
No?
Mm-mm.
Feeling good?
Feeling good. I'm excited.
Feeling good and excited. Yeah. How many games y'all have left?
Oh, gosh. We're halfway through conference play.
Regular season games, there's probably 5 or 6 left.
Okay.
That's crazy.
And then we have districts and regionals.
And all that takes like a month, even though it's like less games.
Oh, wait, you're saying you're going to go all the way, go a month into the...
I'm planning on it. All right. That's the hope.
That's what I like. I like the positivity.
Hopefully this week we get bumped to 3rd in the state.
Oh.
Because the team that was ranked ahead of us got beat. So.
Oh, okay.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Gets a little overwhelming sometimes.
That's right. Y'all just hang in there, though. It's going to get more overwhelming when the world realizes, I think, the quality of the work you guys have been doing. Mm-hmm. This will be cool too. So
it is really cool seeing like the people like recognizing, like you said, because a lot of times it's just been us three in here, you know, and then other people from the outside are like, wow, this is actually really good work. And I think people are really surprised too when it's high school students.
Yeah.
And but yeah, it's just been rewarding to see, and it's kind of like, wow, this was all for a purpose, you know.
All right, well, I hope y'all have a great day. Get back with me. Either see me in the hall or send me an email and let me know about that day.
All right.
And I'll call a friend of mine and we'll see what he thinks about that day and if he has any insight on maybe what we should do or how we should do it. And okay. We'll go from there.
All righty.
Awesome. Ladies,
sounds good.
Y'all have a great day, okay?
You too.
All right.
More on that next time. Murder 101 is executive produced by Stephanie Leidecker, Alex Campbell, Courtney Armstrong, Andrew Arno, and me, Jeff Shane. Additional producing by Connor Powell and Gabriel Castillo.
Editing by Jeff Twa and Davey Cooperwasser.
Music by Vanacore Music. Murder 101 is a production of iHeartRadio and KT Studios. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Ocean by H10 Hotels and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.